answers.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
In its first direct strike by Iran against Israel, Iran attacked with more than 300 drones, cruise and ballistic missiles. It brought a 45-year shadow war into the light. The difference between Iran and Israel's capabilities on stark display, with reports that about half of the projectiles either failed on launch or crashed before reaching their targets. The vast majority of the rest were destroyed by Israel and its partners, including the U.S., France, Britain, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia. The 99% interception rate described as a spectacular military achievement.
And indeed it was, and we have not had any reports of casualties, even injuries, which is amazing. And again, this was telegraphed over the weekend, before we went into the weekend, basically, that Iran would be targeting Israel in retaliation for Israel striking what Iran claimed was a consulate headquarters in Syria. Israel said it was not any kind of consulate. It was a hiding place, a command center for Iranian proxies, and they had every right to hit it. You can argue that point back and forth, but just consider a simple fact. A simple fact. There was peace prior to October 7. And on October 7, Hamas came out of their tunnels and went into Israel, killing, capturing, torturing 1,200 to 2,000 people, probably closer to 2,000, and taking hostages. And they're still holding 100-plus hostages. If they wanted this to end, give up the hostages. Give up your arms. But they don't want to. And the other fact, they were hiding, tunnels exposed, under hospitals, which is contrary to Geneva Conventions. You do not use a hospital, and you do not use civilian population as human shields, which is exactly what Hamas was doing. And all the criticism has been aimed at what Israel is doing. How dare you? How dare you? If someone attacks your family, you're going to turn around and blame it on your family, not the culprit that carried out the attack? And there's another slice of story behind this, which is absolutely infuriating to me. First of all, welcome aboard. Here we are, April 15. Oh, yeah, tax day. Happy tax day. April 15, 2024. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back. And you don't want to miss any of it. And I remind you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can actually watch the program. I see more and more of you doing it. More and more of you, in turn, are sharing it with others. I thank you. I know you have a hard time maybe hearing the entire 2 hours or watching the 2 hours. You pick a time and place that works for you, and you can soak it all in and, again, share it with others. So it's available at News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. And reminding you that if you miss anything, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. Or Larry Connors USA Facebook, audio and video will be available for you. Now, before I tell you about the other part that is absolutely infuriating me about leading up this event the other day, let's go back to that news report on what was taking place during the attack and then after the attack.
On Sunday, Israel's war cabinet met to decide how to respond. Benny Gantz said Israel will respond when the time is right. And Defense Minister Yoav Gallant urged an international coalition against Iran. After the attack, President Joe Biden and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu talked by phone. Biden reportedly told Netanyahu, "You gotta win, take a win," and urged him to carefully think through the consequences of any retaliation. He also said the U.S. won't participate in any strike against Iran.
The president's been very clear. We don't seek a war with Iran. We're not looking for escalation here. We will continue to help Israel defend itself.
Yet some U.S. lawmakers say the U.S. should support an Israeli retaliatory strike.
I think a proportionate response here. I think one option would be to take out the facilities where these drones and rockets came from and also destroy the manufacturing facilities that build the drones and rockets.
We need to stand with Israel. Israel's not at war with Hamas or Hezbollah or Yemen. Those are all surrogates for Iran. Those are they're prostitutes. The pimp is Iran. Israel is at war with Iran. Iran hates Americans. Iran hates Jews. Iran wants to kill Americans and Jews.
Yes, they clearly do. And we're going to break that down even more. We already know that. Two congressmen, Republicans, one Walsh of Texas, and then also Louisiana Senator Kennedy. Now, here's the thing that is extremely distressing. Now, keep in mind all of these rockets and missiles fired. Thank goodness they did not cause any severe damage. The drones apparently were taking something like 7 plus maybe 9 hours to reach Israel. So it gave them plenty of time. It might have been a diversionary tactic as the missiles were being fired, but the Iron Dome, as they call it, helped knock most of those out. It was visible over the skies of Israel. You see the flares up in the night and explosions, and that means lives were being saved. Israel had warned that if Iran launched an attack on Israel directly from Iranian territory, it will retaliate against Iran directly, not against Iran-backed Hamas, Gaza, Hezbollah in Lebanon, Houthis in Yemen, or all the militias in Iraq. Good, because we're going to bring it right to your front door since you've been using proxies to do it, and now you're coming after us, you're going to pay the price. Now, of course, as you heard one of the congressmen point out, let's go after those military installations immediately, which I agree. And then the other part of the story. Republican Senator Mark Rubio is accusing President Biden of sharing details of his private phone call with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu with the press. Why? Not to say, I talked to Bibi and we're working on things. He did it to appease anti-Israeli pro-terrorist activists within his own party. And I have no doubt he did. Because, again, he was warning him, say, you do what you need to and we're with you, but be careful of crossing a line. Be careful crossing a line. Even John Fetterman, not one of my highly respected members of Senate, but again, he's breaking with Biden. He's gaining my support more. He's breaking with Biden on U.S. response to Iran and saying, clearly, this is clearly, now I know the president said it, but I don't believe it. But Fetterman says, we should have Israel's back. Now, of course, in advance of the possibility, we had the U.S. restricting employees in Israel and family members from personal travel outside Greater Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and Iran's threats to retaliate against regional adversaries. And, of course, that includes some of our military bases in the area. And yesterday on NBC, you had the response pointed out, John Kirby on Biden and Iran.
And the president also called on Iran not to retaliate, but they did anyway. What does that tell you?
Well, again, what it tells me, as I looked at last night, what it tells me is that we can make good on our commitment to defend Israel. It tells me that Israel does have superior military capability. Just think about the hardware that Iran threw into the sky and how little damage that caused. I mean, that's a real testament to how strong the IDF is.
That is true. That's good. And then he turns around and goes on NBC, Kristen Walker, Meet the Press.
A lot of people watched what happened in the skies over the Middle East overnight, and they are wondering this morning, has this now escalated into a wider war?
I don't think there's any reason that it needs to.
And the president, has it? Are we now in the midst of a wider war?
The president doesn't believe that it needs to move in that direction whatsoever, Kristen.
Yeah, the president. Well, let's hear a collage, and these bites were pulled together by Ken Williams, Vic Percelli's producer, of Biden, and I want to remind you again here, one of the first things Biden did when he went in office, started unfreezing the sanctions against Iran so they could sell oil and get money, and even giving them money.
By the Biden administration to send Iran $6 billion in that prisoner swap.
In exchange, the U.S. will give Tehran access to $6 billion.
But only for discrete, limited, and narrow humanitarian purposes.
$6 billion in oil revenues.
And the United States will have the right to veto any withdrawal request to make sure that it's going to the Iranian people and not to the regime. The regime won't get a dime of this.
Critics say any money to Iran is dangerous, but Biden administration officials say the funds can only be used for humanitarian purposes.
Is that reason enough to refreeze the $6 billion that the U.S. helped unlock for them to get in exchange for the prisoners?
We have not yet had a dollar of that $6 billion spent, and I will leave it at that.
But will you refreeze it based on this activity that you just laid out, all of the ways that they are complicit in this?
Let me just reiterate what I said, because it's unequivocal. Not a dollar of that money has been spent, and I will leave it at that.
Yeah, but you've listed the sanctions, and that $6 billion, as much as I hate it, is chump change compared to what they're getting from Russia and China for selling their oil because you lifted the embargoes. Now, with the possibility of World War III on our doorstep, World War III in the Middle East on our doorstep right now, I pray it does not come to that. But the state-controlled media has a much, much bigger story to cover.
The judge overseeing the hush money case sent a letter to Trump's lawyers and the Manhattan DA's office outlining jury selection. The judge provided attorneys with a list of 42 questions potential jurors will be asked, including whether they have ever attended a Trump rally, or if they belong to groups like the Proud Boys or Antifa. Trump's attorneys wanted to ask potential jurors whether they like the former president, but the judge called that question irrelevant. But potential jurors will be asked about media consumption and whether they read the New York Times, watch Fox News, or use Truth Social. The questionnaire does not ask about party affiliation, political contributions, or voting history.
Yeah, but you get the idea of what they're reading. That's very clear. I mean, it's transparent. Oh, you watch Fox News? Oh, okay, we know where your head is. No, they're focusing on this Trump trial, which is underway. And I remind you again, this is the hush money paid to Stormy Daniels by Michael Cohen, supposedly the fixer, to keep her quiet. She signed an NDA that she wouldn't talk about it, and then she was threatening to do it. So they were trying to bring that up again. They're trying to make a criminal case out of something, unfortunately, a lot of men hide from their wives. They're out with some other woman. Now, yes, it could be damning to him. They want to make it prove they're going to try to move it into criminal activity that he was using campaign funds. Nancy Pelosi, of course, says nothing. Trump, he's waffling on abortion. He doesn't know what he wants.
Well, first let me say the issue about a woman's right to choose is a democracy issue. This is about freedom, freedom of women to make their decisions, families to make their decisions. So when, said what he said yesterday, he either is stupid or he thinks the rest of us are stupid. Because this is not, he takes great pride in overturning Roe v. Wade, takes great pride in it. And then the way the press wrote it up just cracked me up because it said, Donald Trump believes that state, he doesn't believe anything. He believes in his political survival, and that's what he's trying to accommodate. But you can't be a little bit pro-life. You're there or you're not there. And people see that. So he may have outsmarted, well, I hate to say outsmarted because it doesn't seem to apply, but why would the press say he believes? He doesn't believe anything.
Well, we certainly did not say that this morning. We just said that's what happens when you're completely unprincipled on something. You go all over the place, you meander. He has said publicly that he was pro-choice, then he became pro-life when he decided he wanted to get into politics on the Republican side.
Yeah, but you did not bring up Joe Biden did the same thing. Joe Biden voted for the Hyde Amendment to restrict federal funds for abortions. He was against it. He's a good Catholic. But to get the golden ring to get in the Oval Office, he sold his soul. They don't bring that part up, do they? Now, we had Jim Vanderhey on the other day. He wrote the book Behind the Curtain, exposing some of the things that take place. Now, he was on an MSNBC program on Morning Joe and Mika, and he was very cautious in who he called out.
I increasingly have come to the conclusion that 70 to 80% of people are actually normal. They're not all worked up about the things that people get worked up about. And that the reality of it is that we really have been in this distortion machine. Like if you're on Twitter or X all day, if you're living on TikTok or you're marinating in even some of the topics that we deal with every day, what happens is the people who have the loudest voices, who often say the most provocative things, tend to dominate that conversation. And it leaves you thinking like, wait, does everyone think this? Does everyone feel this? Is everyone so worked up that they're about to, you know, maybe conduct a civil war to defend their party versus the other? And you realize, no, like most people actually have a life. Most people aren't making politics of the beer you drink or the store that you shop at.
Now, right there, I want to stop because he's going to come back and he's going to talk about who you watch and what you read kind of defines things. And some people that follow the state-controlled media and Axios, which he works for, which is left-leaning, well, they're all good. It's those are guys on the other side.
I know tons of people that are Catholics, Christians, name every different denomination. Like most people aren't like thinking that Trump is sent from God to offer salvation to the people. Like, are there fringe people who think nutty things? Yes. Have there always been fringe people who think nutty things? Absolutely. But what's different is there's just a new way to amplify that through social media, sometimes through the most partisan people on cable, and certainly through these tribal battles that we see at the base of the two parties. But that's just, I don't.
Yeah, but you know what? He did not call out, speaking of cable, you Morning Joe. No, he did not do that because he wants to be back on to promote his book. Coming up, Victor Davis Hanson from the think tank is going to take a look at 10 ways to guarantee a theater-wide war in Iran, Middle East, and Israel. You don't want to miss that. That'll be coming up in the next hour. And we've got several other things lined up that are, you know, we have so many things going on right now. Are you aware that a college football team, a cheerleader squad, had to be taken off the stage because they were wearing the American flag, and the American flag might trigger someone? You're in this country. Up next, the best Iranian expert. I contacted him yesterday. I said, Fred, I know you're going to be under the load, but I want to have you on board today. And he said, you got it. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
I've been holding it so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone. I've been sleeping all alone. I won't kiss you.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. Always glad to have Fred Flights on board. Fred is Vice President of the American Policy Institute, serving in U.S. government national security positions for 25 years, CIA, Defense Intel, Department of State, and others. Fred, as always, thank you for making time for us.
And I'm good to be here.
Well, I knew you would be under the gun today once all this stuff started happening over the Mideast, and I appreciate it. I'm sorry to have bothered you yesterday to set it up, but I thank you for your time. Before we begin, I'd like to read one statement from you from Victor Davis Hanson and get your review. I think I could probably guess it, but I want to let you say. He said, how did Joe Biden inherit a decades-long regional calm and turn it into a precursor to gargantuan war? One, talk loudly and carry a twig issue.
Well, I think we obviously know that the world is much more unstable, much more dangerous today than when Joe Biden entered office. And I think what we're seeing right now is the result of the deterioration of American deterrence. But on top of that, we just had rank incompetence. After Israel destroyed that so-called consulate in Damascus, Syria, which really was a terrorist base, it was not a diplomatic compound. What did the U.S. do? Well, the Biden administration said, well, don't blame us. We weren't involved in that. We didn't know about it. And the Iranians said, well, if you stay out of this, we won't bomb your troops. It's just appalling. We stand with Israel. Israel blew up terrorists. That's a good thing. And we should have sent a message to Iran. We won't stand for retaliation, not don't attack us, which is what we did.
Right. And they have used their proxies to attack American soldiers and kill them.
There's been, I've lost track, I think it's up to 150 or more since October 7th, and we have maybe responded about 15 times, and in most of those instances, we tried to avoid casualties by attacking warehouses where there were no personnel there, but we didn't try to take out the leaders of these terrorist proxies. Israel doesn't play by those rules. Israel knew where these terrorists were holed up and killed a whole bunch of them, because this is serious business for Israel.
So the numerous rocket drones that they fired, they took 7 to 9 hours to get there. So I don't know if they were meant to be a distraction. Then the missiles came in, but apparently no severe damage, no casualty reports.
Apparently 99% of the drones and rockets were shot down. There were about 115 ballistic missiles out of the 300 projectiles. About half of them either missed their target or blew up or crashed. So there's a lot of victory laps right now by the Israelis and by the Biden administration. And the Israelis should be proud of themselves. Their air defense systems worked. But I got to tell you, I hate to rain on their parade, but Iran did not use its best stuff. Iran knew this stuff was going to be shot down. It telegraphed that this was coming. I think this may have been a symbolic attack in some way. It may have been for public relations reasons. But I'm also worried, Larry, that it was a probe by the Iranians.
Well, they have
Israeli air defenses.
I'm sorry, I did not mean to interrupt you. They have already since stated, we're done. That was a mentalist campaign, show you what we can do. And basically saying, we're done now. You don't need to worry about us for a while, firing directly from Iran. What's that tell you?
And they also said, and we won't attack again unless Israel does. Israel doesn't take orders from the Iranians.
Of course
not. And I think there probably will be some kind of Israeli response, because they can't simply let this precedent of Iran attacking Israeli territory from Iranian soil to go unanswered. I don't think it'll be a massive counterattack, but I think there'll be some Israeli response.
You know, the general attitude, I would say the general, but many in this nation, simply one, don't know geography, but Israel is surrounded by enemies. The only thing that's not surrounding them is the Mediterranean Sea, you know, but they could put warships out there, and they have enemies all around them. If we were the U.S., in the middle of Europe or something of that nature, we would certainly understand that, although now we've got them coming through our border, open border on a regular basis. But I don't think many Americans truly understand the immediate, consistent, constant threat facing Israel.
And they're self-reliant, they're resilient. And in Tel Aviv today, go on Twitter and you'll see the Israelis dancing in the streets. They're there to defend their state. We know why the state of Israel was set up after World War II as a home for the Jewish people after the Holocaust. It allowed the Jewish people to go back to their ancestral home. They did not take the lands of Palestinians. There's all these lies that have been created to try to discredit the legitimacy of the Jewish state of Israel. And I think we have to stand up to those lies and not let members of Congress propagate them. And they're a heroic people. And We saw that yesterday. They have substantial air defenses, but they're not perfect. And I do worry that the Iranians were testing the Israelis to see what's possible.
They only need to get one through, obviously. And, of course, the president who recognized Israel in 1948 was Harry S. Truman.
It was Truman, and there has long been strong bipartisan support for the state of Israel. I believe Nancy Pelosi's, I think her father was mayor of Baltimore. He may have been a member of the House. He was a very strong supporter of Israel. Pelosi was during most of her career until recently, when she's called for freezing aid to Israel until we get a ceasefire in Gaza.
Chuck Schumer, why is he sitting on his hands?
Even worse, the most senior Jewish member of the Senate, maybe in Congress. It is all about electoral politics. The Democrats are scared to death that they are going to lose a substantial number of progressive voters, Muslim communities in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. And then there's these young radicals running around with signs that say Genocide Joe. Somehow they're trying to appease those people and also stay on board with supporters of Israel.
Florida Senator Marco Rubio raised that point, said, I think he let the word out that he had a phone conversation with Bibi, not to say that we're communicating, but that basically I told him, hey, you don't need to go full-blown right now. Just do what you need to. In other words, why again are we thinking we're capable, especially this commander-in-chief, of telling Israel what it should be doing?
Well, Biden thinks he can do that, and Netanyahu has to play this carefully. The Israeli people want a strong relationship with the United States. They don't want Israel fighting with the U.S. So he takes these phone calls from Biden, and Biden blathers on and lectures him, and then Netanyahu does whatever he wants, but he's trying to be civil with a president who's not civil, who's not sensible. I mean, we know who the adult in the room is when these phone calls take place.
We also know that members of our own Congress, Rashida Tlaib the other day, being chased down the hallway by a Fox reporter, can you at least condemn your own constituents that shout death to America? I don't want to talk to Fox. I don't do interviews or talk. Can you simply say they're wrong to say death to America? She would not do so.
Seems to be a pretty easy question, and I wish the people of her district would hold her accountable for that kind of behavior. Where is she working? What did she swear allegiance to?
Yeah, good point. She came here as a legal immigrant. We gave her home, shelter, and a chance to have a new life, and look what she's done with it. Now she spits in our face.
And I worry that there is an older generation of Democrats who truly are pro-Israel, and they're dying off. And I'm worried, and I told you this before, I think they're going to be replaced by a much more radical breed. And it's trouble for our national security and for American support of Israel.
What should the U.S. be doing at this point?
Well, there should be no daylight between us and Israel.
But there is.
If Israel wants to retaliate, I think that's Israel's business. But for Biden to tell Netanyahu, you better not retaliate, and then to leak to the media that he said that, why are we lecturing the Israelis through the media? What's the big deal here? That's not how you treat an ally.
Well, I think John Kirby, of course, was up the other day talking about, we're going to make it work. But we go back to the money that what Biden did when he first came into office, lift all the sanctions so Iran could start bringing in all the millions of dollars of selling fuel to China and Russia. And, of course, we had the $6 billion that Biden was going to release but then backed off of it.
Iran, as of last September, was $71 billion richer because Biden wasn't enforcing oil sanctions, and Biden gave Iran a $10 billion sanctions waiver in November, and then last month. I mean, he gave one in November, right after the terrorist attack by Hamas.
I'm struggling to find any kind of common sense there.
I think there are some real radicals in the Democratic Party in this administration that come from the Obama administration who still think that Iran is a victim of the United States, and that somehow if we work with it, it can become a partner for peace.
Yeah, you don't make a terrorist your friend. As always, Fred right. Flights, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Good to be here. Thanks, Ari.
We'll do it again. Coming up, again, we're talking about all these folks in the street shouting death to America. Why the hell are we letting them start?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beal knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beal started in the roofing business, helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beal Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
This is moving season for many homeowners and businesses. Contact my sponsor, McGuire Moving and Storage. McGuire will come to you, give you a free, honest appraisal. McGuire, fully licensed, insured, local or long distance, with climate-controlled storage. McGuire Moving and Storage has the Larry Connors USA seal of approval. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire Moving.
This is News Talk STL.
Well, I got me a gal in Pekin. She's a good old gal, okay. Oh, she's sitting there waiting by a window fan on a long, hot summer day. Or every day I'm working on the Illinois River, get a half a day off with pay. Oh, so bold picking up barges on a
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I love the America!
I love the America!
I love the America!
I love the America!
I love the America! I love the Israel!
I love
Israel! I love the Israel!
I love
the America!
I love the America!
I love the America!
Yeah, that's some of the chanting going on right now and over the weekend. Death to America happening in the state of Michigan. Now, among them, we're not all Muslims. And let me take a moment to stress something here. Not all Muslims are jihadists. But every jihadist is a Muslim. And there are many Muslims that are being retaliated against and victims of hate crimes right now when they should not be. They're not actively involved in this, and unless they're out in the streets shouting death to America, let them live their lives. We do have freedom of speech, so we're going to allow people to go out in the street and yell death to America, death to Jews. And I'm willing to accept it only under the First Amendment rights, but it burns me to no end. We never had anything like that during World War II. I was not alive during that time, but I would guarantee you we did not have Americans saying, death to America, let's raise the imperial flag and Nazi salutes. Now, we do have a lot of fringe elements still existing from that time, and they were there as well, but they did not make themselves open. And more importantly, the general public and the news media that existed then did not allow it. I mean, they would absolutely squash it and report on it. But now we've gotten to a point where, well, it is free speech. They can say what they want. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, more than a week after some of them began shouting death to America, it took her a whole week to offer a condemnation of the rhetoric. Why would it take a week? Got to test the political wind, see which way it's blowing. What is it going to hurt us? I mean, Biden needs the state of Michigan. Dearborn, Michigan has become a home of many Muslims. No issue there, except if they're radicalized and spreading throughout the community, radicalizing others, and we don't know how many terrorists have come into the nation that are now in that area, ready to carry out some kind of orders. But after a full week, I can't stress that enough, she issues a little statement. This hateful rhetoric is unacceptable. If you believe that, why didn't you say it on day one? And then she has, does not represent Michigan or Dearborn. Again, why did you say it on day one? She said the Dearborn community is full of hardworking, proud Americans. Our state is diverse, and we're proud of it, including jihadists who want to kill all Americans and Jews. Oh, she didn't add that, but you might as well. And again, there are hardworking Americans in Dearborn, just trying to live their lives. A Whitmer spokesman said the statement had been, quote, previously prepared and provided to media upon request, but the text did not appear to have printed in any outlets and was noticeably absent from the governor's social media accounts. So I'm calling the BS card on that. They didn't just have it and just waiting. No, they didn't have it at all. Whitmer's office was asked last week to weigh on the chance, did not get a comment at the time. So if they already had it, why didn't she comment then? Well, still got to worry about getting some of that swing vote for Joe Biden. And protesters in a rally in Dearborn, April 5, were shouting, death to America, death to Israel. And here we are 10 days later. She finally came out with a statement. She'd been remaining silent. The Biden administration did condemn, quote, these abhorrent anti-Semitic remarks in the strongest terms last week. And also responded when asked whether it still sought the votes of those who chanted at the rally. The Biden campaign said no. Dearborn mayor also publicly denounced the chants, calling them unacceptable and contrary to the heart of Dearborn. But Biden's not going to get these folks anyway. That's why many voted any contestant other than who's on the ballot. They didn't want to vote for Trump, didn't want to vote for Biden. And they're probably not going to likely vote for Robert F. K. either. But again, despite Whitmer finally acknowledging this is not acceptable, you still have Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, mum, not saying word one. And we played you the clip the other day of her being chased down the hallways of Congress by a reporter from Fox News saying, will you at least say those who chant death to America are wrong? Will you say that? She would not say it. Michigan Senate Republicans posted late last weekend, Governor Whitmer may be celebrating the day of no silence today, but she's celebrating a whole week of silence by refusing to condemn the Death to America rally held in our state. Michigan protesters chanted, death to America, why is Whitmer silent? In fact, there's an op-ed published Sunday in L.A. in the USA Today Times USA Today, asking that very question in his headline. And so we had a discussion the other day listening to Juan Williams, who's now with Fox News, who had been with NPR, lost his job. Why did he lose his job? Well, specifically because they were thinking he's a little bit too conservative for us, but specifically he mentioned after 9/11, he said, I have to admit, I get a little nervous when I see somebody walk on a plane in a hijab or Muslim dress of any type. He's being honest, and many others have had the same concern. Now, you don't want to have that fear in the sense simply because someone's dressed, or maybe you meet somebody who's all tatted up with all kinds of tattoos up around their neck and on their face, and you think, that's a dangerous guy. I know a guy like that is a professor of criminology at a university. And he's preaching law and order, literally. But he chose that's the way he wanted to look. And I don't know if he did it for a period of time as undercover for an agency. I never got into that with him. But in the midst of all of what's happening right now, let's remember, and even John Kirby is acknowledging what Joe Biden has been doing since day one to help Iran.
Why not support something that would have stopped that program or at least contained it in some way so it's not launching in Israel and we aren't having to get it involved defensively?
Again, Shannon, just look at the sanctions that we put in place against Iran. Look at the resources we put in this into the region. It's hard to take a look at what President Biden has done and say that we've somehow gone soft on Iran. It was the previous administration that decided to get us out of the Iran deal. And now Iran is so much dramatically closer to a potential nuclear weapon capability than they were before Mr. Trump was elected.
That guy's an admiral that he really believes that if we sign a deal like Obama wanted and Trump immediately tore up and now Biden's trying to get everybody back into it, if we sign a piece of paper with them that they will not try to develop a nuclear bomb, they'll only use nuclear energy to bring their people out of the Stone Age. Are you really, really that much of an idiot and that such a fool? I want to play poker with you sometime. I'll own your house, your car, and whatever else you got. Because I could bluff you all over the place, because that's what Iran is doing. Now, Fred Flights, our expert we had in a preceding segment, if you missed it, again, I want to encourage you to go back and pull it up and share it with someone. Because one thing he mentioned bears repeating. All these drones and missiles they fired at Israel over the weekend, all the drones were shot down or even crashed short of the, you know, they had 7 to 9 hour flight for them. I don't know if they didn't have the fuel or what the deal was. Most of the missiles were intercepted. What few got through either hit in areas that caused no real damage. But he said it might have been just a probe to see something about Israelis' defense. It might well be. And it may also have emboldened them to say, you know, we could do it again. Now, they've said since that was that time, we're done with it. It was a minimalist event, and we're not going to do it again unless you step on us. And Biden holding a conversation with Bibi and saying, okay, don't go be retaliating. I want Israel to do whatever it thinks it needs to, period. Well, the regressive progressives are progressive regressives. It works both ways. They're regressive progressive and they're progressive regressive. Continue to push the Russian narrative, not only with Trump, but anyone and everyone. The latest example, that story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone, or your entire office, Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
It's a matter of, are we getting any work done? And the answer is unequivocally no. We are not getting any work done. The only thing that they have on their agenda is to play more and more games and to do whatever Russian propaganda peddling they can do or whatever Trump agenda items is what they're pretty much handling right now. Nothing as relates to the agenda of the American people.
That was Texas Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett. Now, when Adam Schiff and all of the Democrats were spending all their time and their capital and the effort to impeach Trump on false charges, there was no Russian collusion. I never heard a single Democrat saying we're not doing the work of the people. But now the Republicans are looking at legitimate issues involving Hunter Biden, his laptop, and various shell companies, and where the money went, and is Joe Biden involved? Those are all legit. Everything is right there, black and white, bank records. Oh, well, they're not doing the will of the people. They're doing a good oversight, and I don't know where it will end up exactly, but it's worthy to do. But here again, she wants to throw in the Russian collusion story. Oh, she goes even deeper. She says basically the Russians pick up the phone and it's answered by a member of the GOP and things are done.
As we know, the Republican Party is run by Russians at this point in time. So let's say some Russian decides to communicate with a member here in D.C. What FISA does is it's surveilling what the Russian is doing.
Do you hear that? And the conservatives are supposed to be the extremists? Congresswoman Crockett of Texas wants to tell you that we have Russians contacting members of the GOP, and we would jump and dance as high and as long as they want. No one believes that. But they continue to circulate it and spin it. And on the left, they certainly buy it because they like the sound of it. It just fits their narrative. All right, I mentioned earlier, I didn't get a chance to get to it the other day, but there was a Seattle dance convention with the members of high school regional cheerleaders across the nation coming together. And one of the co-captains said, when we got there, we were told upon arrival, our flag tops were offensive to some convention goers. They had flags with stars and stripes, and the stars and stripes on one side, very classy looking. But we were told you would just be booed and yelled at. Likely many would walk out. That did not deter us, but we were given an ultimatum. We either remove the flag tops and perform in either street clothes, which most didn't bring because they arrived in their uniforms, or they'd supply us with shirts from the past, or don't perform at all, which is effectively asking us to leave. She said, I went ahead and asked to make sure I wasn't speaking on behalf of everybody. I asked the team, and they said, no, we're not going to take part in it. They found out just 30 minutes before, you can't do that. The flag might trigger someone. This is in Seattle, USA. You're going to live here. You don't have to like the flag or honor it, but you're going to be triggered by it? Remember our pledge, one nation under God.